Good morning, church. Good to see you all, and it's an absolute privilege to be able to come and share with you this morning. I'm from Compassion UK, and we're doing a celebration across all three of the Grace Church campuses. So my colleague this morning was at Chichester, then quickly ran to Havant, and is doing those two services, and I'm here with you guys. To give a bit of background on who I am, I currently live in Basingstoke, married to one wife, and I met her when I was a missionary in Burundi, in Africa, for 6.5 years, church planting there, and then we came back here, settled for a little bit, and was working as an associate pastor of a church in Basingstoke until God called me out of that into this season. But we do believe we're probably heading back to Africa at some stage. But we're here to celebrate all that you guys are doing as a church globally through Compassion UK. It's my privilege to work for such an amazing organization. If you've not heard of us, our whole mandate and our whole calling and our slogan is to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. That is what we are all about. We are three things. We are Christ-centered. Everything we do is about Jesus. Secondly, we are church-driven, driven by the church here in the UK that partner with churches in 29 different countries around the world. And lastly, we are child-focused. And you guys have been partnered with us for quite a period of time. I think in total, there is 143 children that are actively sponsored through Grace Church. Can anyone see the child? I'd be impressed if you can see the child that you sponsor. Is there any sponsors here this morning? Give me a wave. Amazing. Thank you guys for stepping in the gap for these children and for hopefully, we believe, releasing them from poverty in Jesus' name. But you guys are partnered specifically with the Philippines. And so out of the 143 that are actively sponsored through the church, 130 of those children's lives are actively living in our projects and going to our projects week in, week out in the Philippines. Other areas are Haiti, Dominican Republic, Mexico, Peru, Tanzania, Ethiopia. There's a whole variety of places that individuals in this church are sponsoring children through. And it's amazing the difference you guys can make. Just a couple of stats. The children that you sponsor, you currently sponsor 85 girls and 59 boys. I think there's a bit of a heavy weight on the girls here. Maybe this morning we could up the boys' sponsorship a bit. All the lads go, whoo. I was just this week at the gathering, which is a men's festival, and amazingly we saw about 50 children sponsored by Christian men who gathered together to do that. But let's hopefully see that number increase. But that's the stats of which you guys are at. So what does that mean? What does that correlate to in the sponsorship of the children? Well, when you sponsor a child, we believe that we offer a holistic child development program for them in which they're in. And so as a total, over 237,000 plus hours of Christ-centered project that they get to come into. So every Saturday, the children that are sponsored come into the church on a Saturday morning, and for 4 to 6 hours, depending how long and how keen they are, but generally about 4 hours, they will come into the project, receive meals. They'll receive, so as a total, they've received well over 1,380 meals, which are nutritional, 74,000 nutritionist meals. They've received 1,380 medical checkups, and I think one of the most amazing things is that as a whole, they've received 271 Bibles. So not only do they come into the project and they hear about Jesus, not only do they come and receive food and receive health checks, and those health checks can be anything from just a quick check over to a vaccine to anything to open heart surgery. One of our Compassion children needed to have open heart surgery. Compassion stepped in and said, we'll cover the bill. The child went and had the operation and is completely healthy as a result. So that can be any realm of things, but I think it's amazing that actually 271 Bibles are now in homes of these families. You know, I was out in Kenya recently with the projects and visiting, and it was so amazing to see that actually when you go into this house, not much bigger than your garden shed, a family of six living in it with one mattress on the floor, but in the corner was a table, and on that table was their Bible in pride of place because it was so precious to them and their families. You know, how I was so humbled thinking how many Bibles that we have in our home, and maybe sometimes I've lost it or it's gone missing, but they have it pride of place. So the impact that you guys are making by empowering these guys is incredible. Financially, you're giving over £69,000 of financial gift and aid towards these guys. That is incredible. And that's just in the last 12 months. And on top of that, 107 additional gifts. So that can be from Christmas gifts to birthday gifts. And it was really cool. I was in a church the other day, and one of the ladies read out a letter from the child that she sponsors. And she sent her a Christmas gift. And she wrote back and says, "Thank you for the Christmas gift. I brought a fridge." I mean, how many kids would buy a fridge with their Christmas gift? I'm not sure many of us. I know another child that we were working with. His family bought a goat. And these are all things that are able to help the families become self-sustaining. That child bought a fridge because she's a bit older. She was in her teens, so she could set up a business so then she could be self-sustaining and bring funds and finances into the family. So those are the kind of things that happen when you give those gifts to families. Amazingly, one of the things I love about compassion is the relationship that it builds. Not only do we encourage each of the children that come into the program, and they don't have to be Christians to be part of the compassion program, but not only do we encourage a relationship with Jesus, but we also encourage one-to-one relationship with a sponsor. You know, as a family, we sponsor a child, and I love it because she's 4 years old, slightly younger than my daughter. My daughter's 5, and it's so nice being able to get my daughter at the age of 5 to draw a picture and just say, "Umwiza, I love you," and I can send that picture to Rwanda, and that girl knows that she's loved and she's cherished by someone who's not much dissimilar in age. And those are the kind of things. So as a total, you guys have received, letters been sent by the children. You've received 551 letters, and you've sent 227. This is not to guilt you. Don't feel guilty if you are currently a supporter and don't write that often. Don't worry, we are all guilty of it, but let's maybe up those numbers so that next year we can maybe see that actually almost as many letters have been sent as have been received. You know, the important thing about these letters is that they do really make a difference. On the trip in Kenya, we took 12 church leaders from the Elam churches across the UK. And I didn't know, but one of the church leaders, when we were in the bus traveling to one of the projects, he pulled out a very kind of old, rickety leather pouch. And I was like, this is a bit nasty, not very nice. The church leader in Northern Ireland. But he pulled out this old leather-bound thing, and he started to open up. And as he opened up the leather-bound case were all the letters that he'd received from his sponsor. And he said to me, "These letters I've treasured all my life because they helped me to know that I was loved, that I was known, and that God had a future for me." So if you don't think your letters make a difference, trust me, they do. The power of those letters not only helped that boy at the age of 8, when he was poor, really in a hard family in India, not only did it help him get released from poverty in Jesus' name, but it gave him all the hope that God has a future and a purpose for him, and he's now leading a church in Northern Ireland. So they do make a difference. Amazingly, you guys, not only do you sponsor children, but actually Grace Church have committed to a 5-year commitment to a child survival unit. And that is, I love child survival programs. It's one of the programs we do on top of sponsorship. And it's basically prenatal and postnatal care. So holler to the new baby. You would have been in our child survival unit. That's what they do. They give prenatal and postnatal care to mums and their babies. And so as Grace Church, when you are giving, part of your giving goes towards supporting mums and their babies. So it just in the last quarter, because there's kind of obviously we're in the last of this financial quarter, the one that you're sponsoring in Philippines, 18 mothers and their babies have been actively sponsored already. One baby has been born full term in this last quarter, and 3 women are exclusively breastfeeding their babies in the first 6 months. You know, the death rate of children and even mums and babies in this period of time is quite high. And so actually you are breaking the trend of what can happen to these mothers. So four mothers are pregnant in this program and will be going through it. And not only do they get assistance before birth, they obviously get a medical staff, a midwife with them to actually help deliver the baby. But they'll get breastfeeding training, they'll get vocational training, they'll get even some help to be able to know how to kind of start up a business and other things. And that's all part of what you guys are providing through sponsoring and helping this child survival unit. You're breaking the trend of what might happen, which is incredible. Oh, so we want to say thank you. I'm just going to skip a few. Just a couple of interesting facts about the Philippines. 74% of the population have access to basic sanitation. That's such a not a very high number. 11% of children aged 5 to 17 are engaged in child labor. My daughter is 5 years old, and I cannot begin to fathom that she could be actually out at the age of 5 earning money to keep our family going. It's a crazy statistic. And just this is the trend that you are breaking. 28.1 children mortality rate per 1,000 live births in 2018. By providing the child survival unit, you're breaking that trend. You're changing the trajectory of those mums and those babies. And actually, we'll see healthy children at the result. And when those children get to a year old, they'll then be registered into the Compassion Project, and they can be sponsored to help continue on the support for their families. So thank you very much for your help. If you don't already know about us, you can check us out on our app. If you're a supporter, that's how we write to our child. We take a photo and we send it off. So that's something to encourage you with. Please do pray for us. Pray for protection for the children. Pray protection and wisdom for our country directors in all of the 29 different countries that we work in. We work in some very challenging situations, some very corrupt nations. So actually, please pray for wisdom for our people there. Please pray for wisdom and for discernment. And lastly, today you could sponsor, if you feel so led. You could sponsor a girl, her name is Milena. And I love that she's doing kind of like a jazz hands in the picture. But she's 6 years old and she just has her mother. And she's a beautiful little girl. You could sponsor a girl who's 2 years old. She's in Uganda and her name's Rain. For £32 a month. And you might say, well, that sounds like a lot, £32 a month. But I wonder how often do we spend £32 a month on a takeaway? Or maybe on 2 or 3 coffees a week? Maybe sometimes God is calling us to live simply so that others may simply live. This morning after I speak, I'm going to offer you a chance to come and maybe think about sponsoring a child. But let's turn to the Word of God. We've heard your updates. We've heard your stats and the impact that you guys are making. But we're going to go to the Word of God now. So if you turn with me to John 9, we're going to get into it together. Let me get my glasses on because I'm blind. Right. John 9. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told them. Wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who was sat begging? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How were your eyes open, they asked. The man replied, the man they called Jesus came, made some mud, put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went, I washed, and now I see. Where is this man? They asked him. I do not know. And if we skip on a bit to verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell them so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you now. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would speak through me right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we would be encouraged, edified, challenged, oh God, that we may become more like you every moment of every day. In your name, amen. So I'm speaking about the blind man. And Jesus, throughout throughout the time and throughout the Bible, we can see that Jesus was not unfamiliar to dealing with blind people. And, there's a couple of stats, and actually, staggeringly, there are more than 2 million people living with sight loss today in the UK. Every 6 minutes, someone is told that they're going blind, which is just staggering. And 1 in 5 people live with sight loss. Amazingly, and sadly, 25,000 children are blind in the UK today. But you know, Jesus is not unfamiliar with that statistic. We see it throughout the Bible. In Matthew 9, we see that he heals the two blind men. In Matthew 12, he heals the demon-possessed man. And then in Mark 8, he heals the blind man at Bethsaida. And in Mark 10, he heals blind Bartimaeus. Jesus was familiar with this, but this is the first time throughout Scripture that we see that anyone was healed who was born blind. Everyone else was blind in other ways, but he was born blind, and so he'd never been able to see creation. He'd never be able to look upon his family's faces in awe and wonder. He would have lived in darkness, and I think he probably lived in the school of hard knocks, because not only was he born blind and that was an issue, but actually his parents couldn't look after him. We see that his parents left him at the temple gate in order to beg, because that was his only future. His only trajectory of any hope would be to beg for a living. And so he was poor, and that's all the option he had. And actually, beggars of the day were treated with such discontent, and people just did not regard them very highly. But I love how this passage starts. Because in the ESV or the New King James, the very first words of this passage say, "Now as Jesus passed by." And that's the title of my sermon, "Now as Jesus passed by." Because things begin to change when Jesus passes by in our lives. I hope that's a story, and I hope that's a testament for you if you're a believer of Christ, that actually things might not be all rosy and great, but actually something begins to shift, something begins to change because Jesus has passed by. We see in Exodus 34, verse 6, "And the Lord passed before him," that's Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" When Jesus passed by a woman bleeding for 12 years, the miraculous happened. When Jesus passed by the woman at the well, a whole town was changed. When Jesus passed by an unclean man with demons, he cast them out, and we see miraculous things. I wonder what you might say and what I might say that Jesus has done for us. What has Jesus done when he passed by my life? Maybe I was hopeless, but he's given me a hope. Maybe I was homeless, but he's given me a home. Maybe I was full of anxiety and fear, but he's given me a peace that surpasses all understanding. I wonder this morning, what has Jesus done in our lives? And as we read through this passage, we see the first verse says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was born blind from birth." You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that Jesus always sees us. He sees us, and he sees us no matter who we are, or no matter our ranking in society. He cares, and he sees the one. Jesus sees each and every one of us. You know, the temple was a busy place. Jesus had come and gone from the temple many times. And actually, if we read back a bit in chapter 8 of this passage, we see that it's very interesting. And he says, "At this, Jesus was at this, they picked up stones to stone Jesus, and Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple courts." Now, Jesus had every reason not to see the blind man. He had every reason not to take notice of this man. He had every reason to run away in fear of being persecuted and killed. But he took time and he stopped. And he saw the one man. And this morning I believe that he sees each and every one of us. He sees the challenges that we're going through. He sees the problems in our marriages. He sees the challenges we face at work. He sees the challenges we feel at home. And he sees each and every one of us this morning. The word saw in the Greek actually means not just to see with his eyes, but it actually means to know, to be aware of, to consider, and to understand. Jesus understood the blind man. He understood the pain he was feeling as he was sat there with no hope. And that's what Jesus sees in our lives today. And he calls us to cast those cares on him. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. Jesus sees the 356 million children who are living in abject poverty today. Jesus sees 14,000 children that die every day because of easily preventable diseases. Jesus sees the 1 billion children that are going to bed hungry today. Jesus sees the 800 million who lack safe, clean water. And Jesus sees the 130 girls who are not going to school today, they're not going to school tomorrow, and they're not going to school the next day. He sees them, he knows them, and he loves them. God sees each and every one. Even in the busyness of life, even through it all, he sees them. And in verse 2, it carries on. It says, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, I love the disciples because they're very much like me. They always get it wrong. I don't know about you, but I love the disciples' lives because they're very human. They're very kind of, yeah, they're just, I think I would be quite like the disciple Peter, very foolish. And what I love about this is that these guys, they kind of think, oh, they're trying to work out what's wrong with this man. Why is he blind? But they completely miss the point. They see the issue. They see the obstacle. But Jesus sees an opportunity for grace. They see the sickness. They see the disease. They see the mistake that this man has made. But Jesus sees an opportunity to show mercy and grace and love. I wonder how often in our day-to-day we can actually sometimes judge people and not see them for who they are. We can maybe look at the child and say, well, maybe their family has done something they shouldn't have done. But actually, it's an opportunity to show love, an opportunity to show grace at work and wherever you are. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 14, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Every single child in our projects is known, loved, and protected. And when I love the story about one of the children that grew up through our project, his name's Yanni, and he grew up in the slum of India. And when he was when he came into the project, he came in at the age of 10, and in this slum was 10,000 people, a very small area. And in that area, only two toilets and one tap to serve 10,000 people. Most of us have that in our homes maybe today. But that's what he was living in, and he was in a very hard circumstance and situation. But he came through and he was sponsored and he came through the project. And now he's gone back into the slum, but he's working to help raise up entrepreneurs and give them a hope and a future, just like he was given the opportunity himself because someone sponsored him. But what I found amazing is that God doesn't just notice the kids. He noticed also their parents. His father was a general laborer, a day-to-day laborer. And, you know, in those days, but also a lot in those cultures, they're not always necessarily the most eloquent and well-taught. And so this man, Yanni's father, when he went to the end of the month to collect his pay, he wasn't able to sign. All he was able to do was write an X to make a mark that he was able to receive his pay. But because Yanni was able to receive an education, Yanni taught his father how to write his name. And the next month, his father went with such joy, with such dignity, that when he received his next pay, he signed his name. What an amazing thing that God just doesn't see the immediate need, but he sees the surrounding situation. Jesus is in the business of changing lives today, and I pray that that is something that we can all testify to do today. So not only did Jesus see him, but he also set him free. It says in verse 6, after this, he spat on the ground, he made he made some mud with saliva and put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told them, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. I don't know about you, but if I was going to work with a blind man, if I was going to try and help a blind man, I don't think my instant reaction would be to make mud and slam it in the dude's eyes. I think there would probably be quite a lot of upset and maybe a bit of frustration on the blind man's point of view. But actually, God often works in ways that we don't expect. God works in ways that actually we don't always understand, because Jesus in this point was actually focusing the disciples and those around him. He was focusing them not on the method in which he was performing the healing, but he was focusing them on the message. And the message was the power of God at work in their lives. Jesus is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine, but sometimes he does it in ways we cannot comprehend. Sometimes we say, oh God, please heal me like you healed that person. Oh God, please provide me like you provided for that person. But God does amazing things. You know, I definitely would not have done it that way. You know, the other day I was walking my daughter to work, to school one day, and she doesn't walk anywhere. She has to skip. So she's there skipping along, and I'm kind of walking along beside her. But as she skips, she slips on a stone, and she completely smacks the gravel. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Olivia. Please come up. I give her a cuddle, you know, kiss it better. 5 years old. Let's kind of make sure you're good to go. But I'm a dad who needs to go to work, so I'm like, just get up. Let's keep going. So I pick her up, kind of brush it off. And we keep walking, but this time she's still skipping, but I decided to hold her hand, as a good father would try and do. But this time, unfortunately, she slipped again. But because I was holding her hand, when she fell, I fell on top of her, my hand went on her head and smacked her head into the concrete, and she had a massive graze the whole side of her face. At no point did I think, mud will do the job. At no point, like literally at no point did I think that's the way forward. No, I rushed to go and get help. I rushed into the school to get her aid that she needed. But you know, when I was thinking about this and all the help that we received, you know, we went into the school and they gave her a bandage. They cleaned up the wound. They gave her some cowpole, which seems to heal every wound. And for all the parents, I mean, you just say the word cowpole and healing falls, doesn't it? And so like, they just gave her some cowpole and she was great. I was like, thank you, Jesus, I'm back to work. But I was an honest dad fail and I felt terrible. But I was also reminded how privileged and how blessed we are in this country with the provision of the NHS. And I know we can grumble about the NHS. I know that we can grumble about the healthcare that we get, but we are so, so blessed. Did you know that at least half the world population cannot access essential healthcare? Nearly 100 million people are pushed into extreme poverty every year because they cannot afford to pay their healthcare bills. 100 million people pushed into poverty. And 40% of women are not receiving antenatal care and help. You know, God sees these people and he is doing the miraculous and he's able to do amazing things. When Jesus does this for this man, he tells him to go, and the man does what he's supposed to do, and he receives healing. He comes out of the pool of Siloam, and he's received the healing that Jesus had promised him. Because Jesus is in the business of healing lives, changing them for the future. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has what? Gone. And the new is here. Was all of his problems solved? No. But he healed his need. He helped him and he gave him a helping hand. So not only do we see that he saw the man, not only do we see that he set him free, I'm going to land on this. Lastly, we see that Jesus saved the man for eternity. You know, if you keep reading on the passage, I kind of read a few verses and skipped a few. If you kept reading those passages, you would see that actually the blind man, after receiving the healing, you would think that everyone around him would start celebrating, wouldn't you? You would think, come on, everyone's like, yeah, he's been healed in Jesus' name. We were celebrating your healing, which is amazing. But actually the people around him started saying, no, that can't be the man. No, that can't be right. Even the Pharisees and the leaders of the day said, no, let's throw him out of the temple. They insulted him, they spat at him, and they threw him out of the temple courts because they didn't believe that it was true. So this man had had a life-altering instance where he'd not only met Jesus, he'd received healing that he'd longed for the rest of his life, and then as soon as he's healed, he's cast away. You know, I just think that's, your heart breaks when you read that. But I love, as I read a bit later on in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man said, "Who is he, sir? I tell you that I may believe in him." And Jesus said this, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you now." The man said, "I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus knew the pain that he'd felt. He knew that the healing had been performed, but he was still cast out from society. And Jesus wanted to have a relationship with him. Jesus wants to have a living relationship with each and every one of us. He wants to transform our lives for the good and for the glory of Jesus' name. You know, earlier on, Jesus said the reason he did this was to display the works of the Father. Everything that Jesus was doing was to point to the Lord God Almighty. You know, I don't know where you're at with your walk with God today. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you've kind of given your life to him or if you're still discovering what that looks like. But one of the things I believe is that Jesus wants to come to him just as we are. Broken, hurting, whole, whatever it might be. And he's saying, "Come to me, all who are weak, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Jesus goes to the man after being cast out from the temple. He finds him again. And he offers him a hand of loving grace. Psalm 39 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." Jesus' right hand is holding each and every one of us right now. And he wants to reach out and say, "Do you believe?" And I love that this man's response was, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. When we meet Jesus, when Jesus passes by our situation, we can do nothing else but worship him. We can do nothing else but prostrate ourselves on the ground and say, "Jesus, I believe." There's this old song by Bill Gaither, and it goes like this. "Like a blind man I wandered, so lost and undone, a beggar so helpless without God or his son. Then my Savior in mercy heard and answered my cry. And oh, what a difference when Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by, since Jesus passed by, oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it, and I cannot tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by." I pray today that that is our story, that we have begun to see Jesus at work in our lives, changing our marriages, changing our workplaces, changing us to be more like him as we walk in faith. We're going to watch a very quick video now, and then I'm going to just wrap up. Thank you, guys.
My name is Hilda. I am the eighth child in a family of 10 children. We didn't have much money growing up, and we lived in one room. When I was 5 years old, my dad had an accident which left him unable to work. We had no money for food, and I was very scared. I felt like no one cared about me, and I didn't matter. Then everything changed. When I was 9, one of our neighbors told me about Compassion at my local church. I was sponsored through Compassion, and I started to go to the project every week. I was fed there, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned I was special, and that God loved me. My sponsor wrote me letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. I am so thankful for my sponsor and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you so much for your love, which showed me God's love. Together, the church, Compassion, and my sponsors made me feel valued and gave me a new future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story.
Proof that when you change the story of one child, you can change a community. I wonder this morning if each and every one of us could just take a moment to think about whether we could be Jesus passing by an individual's life so that we could bring change, hope, and a future. Little Rain, little Milena, maybe today they might receive news that they've got a sponsor who wants to help them not only be released from poverty in Jesus' name, but actually to come into a living, active relationship with the Lord God Almighty and spend eternity with Him. You could change the future, not only of their world today, but you could be a part of what God wants to do to change their future for eternity. Thank you, Grace Church. Thank you for the difference you're making. And if you want to maybe find out more, if you want to sponsor a child today, come and speak to me, and I'd love to chat a bit more with you guys. I think we're going to have the worship team up as a response. Bless you guys.